Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 2 of the opening day of a new week. It is Monday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. So we have showed you what happened in week number 18 and what ended in the regular season to set the stage for the playoffs, how the postseason came together around the National Football League. Now we'll look at the future and the outlook of the postseason in both conferences, first the AFC and then into the NFC. And Donnie, it's not just the start of a new week after the end of a regular season. It is a day coaches and front office executives around the NFL fear. It is Black Monday with some head coaching firings already happening. Atlanta dismissing Arthur Smith. Washington firing Ron Rivera. And some changeups in the front office that we will detail here in this second hour as well.
Yeah, we got a lot of information to get to, and this is the fun part about here on Black Monday for at least us. We get to analyze the moves that are made, and we'll probably get a couple more before the show is through. But I don't think anybody's going to argue with the moves that have already been made there. You know, the Panthers firing their general manager, Ron Rivera, and the general manager being let go in Washington. You take a look at Atlanta, them also removing their head coach. So these are anticipated. The one thing that you do know, you're in professional sports, and even now college football, basically. In college sports, they're basically professional as well, as the players are getting paid and the stakes get higher. You're just hired to be fired. That's just the way it is. If you have a good run, like the Mike Tomlins, the Bill Belichicks of the world, lasting decades in their city, that's old school here. The new school is, hey, if I can get a good run for 4 to 5 years, make a paycheck here, move on to my next job, that's just the way it is.
Let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience as well. Here to our second hour on a Monday on the early line. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and we are live all across Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. Convenient you mentioned Bill Belichick. His future in Foxborough, very uncertain after 24 seasons at the helm of the New England Patriots. Any updates that we get here in this second hour, we will bring you that breaking news. So now let's look at the playoffs around the National Football League. 6 games next weekend on Super Wild Card Weekend, dragged out over 3 days. 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and a Monday night football game. So we start with the AFC postseason picture. The Baltimore Ravens, the league's best team, 13 wins. They clinched the number 1 overall seed entering this regular season finale around the NFL. The number 2 seed with a victory last night in Miami, the Buffalo Bills, champions in the AFC East for a 4th consecutive year. The Chiefs have won the AFC West 8 straight seasons. They will host the Miami Dolphins. Buffalo gets Pittsburgh on the first game up on Sunday. And then in the 4-5 matchup, the Texans, champions of the AFC South for the first time since 2019, because the Jaguars stumbled in a big way down the stretch, the Texans will welcome in the Cleveland Browns. Houston actually booked as the home underdog. So that's the AFC playoff bracket. Here are the AFC title odds. Baltimore is the favorite, plus 135. Buffalo, less than $1.50 behind at plus 280. The Chiefs, plus 460. The Texans, the other divisional champ, at 17-1. Second longest price, and mixed in the middle, it's those 3 wild card teams. Donnie, what is your outlook on those AFC title odds with just 7 teams now remaining in the hunt?
Look, it's got to be the Baltimore Ravens. It really does. Like, if this year shaped up in any way, like where you were looking at, hey, how can we make a run in the AFC and win a Super Bowl? This is the exact path that you wanted here. Because number one, there's only one bye in the AFC. You got that. You're going to relax while everybody beats each other up. But also behind them. Like, yes, the Buffalo Bills are talented and very good. But do you see the way they've won football games down the stretch here? Again, maybe some not so quality opponents that they hung on yesterday. Yeah. Sure. I'm not knocking the Buffalo Bills in any way. It's hard to win football games in the NFL. But that wasn't the cleanest performance last night against a really banged up Miami Dolphins team. You take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, no, it's Big Red and it's Patrick Mahomes. We've watched them play this year. They're not the same football team over the past 2 to 3 seasons. The Texans got in. Love the story here, but it still is a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach here, probably playing with house money at this point. The one team that I got to tell you, and forget about the Miami Dolphins, who I'm already intrigued with, depending on what those practice reports look like this weekend. But isn't it seem like the Cleveland Browns? Like, if there's one team here that can actually do damage in the playoffs where it's like, okay, from the outside looking in, who weren't supposed to be here, like Joe Flacco just plays good football and just is letting it rip downfield. Amari Cooper is healthy now, able to get an extended rest here because they did the right thing and in a meaningless game took a bye week, not said, hey, Kevin Stefanski, let's keep the momentum going and try to win our final football game here. Nobody cares that they got blown out by the Cincinnati Bengals. They did the right thing.
Nobody cares.
So I'll leave this here. I think the Ravens win the AFC. I've been rooting for them all season long, but watch out for those Cleveland Browns, Ben.
31-14, the win for the Bengals in the Battle of Ohio in Cincinnati. But again, nobody cared. Jeff Driscoll got the start for Cleveland, even with the Bengals covering as a full touchdown favorite. The Browns resting the 38-year-old Joe Flacco as they get ready. Booked as a 2.5-point road favorite, Donnie, in the first game up on Super Wild Card Weekend. Now let's talk narratives, because those are, of course, a storyline and a focus as we enter the postseason. The Baltimore Ravens, the best team around the National Football League all year long. Despite what San Francisco did in a loss yesterday at home, the Ravens, the only team to win 13 games in the NFL this year. But Donnie, they have reached the postseason now 5 times in the 6 seasons with Lamar Jackson as their starting quarterback. He's about to win his second NFL MVP award since 2019. But if there is a narrative around John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson since they last won a Super Bowl in 2012 with Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback, they have not surpassed the divisional round in the AFC. Again, now 5 playoff appearances in the last 6 years, and they will be the number one overall seed this year as they were back in 2019, and they have not even reached an AFC championship game. I'm not saying that this is the year where that trend continues, but there will be narratives at play for the Ravens to debunk once we reach the playoffs and Baltimore gets into action 2 weekends from now.
Lamar Jackson is a wonderful football player and an MVP quarterback and will be a 2-time MVP. But I feel like the only thing holding the Ravens back in this will be the expectations for Lamar Jackson. If he just plays the way we know he's going to play, Ben, they're in the Super Bowl and you go, oh no, Ben, he's got to beat the 49ers when he gets there. Did you watch what happened on Christmas as if he's going to be scared to play the 49ers on a neutral field? Not the case. But that's the only thing I worry about is those narratives that'll creep in. Well, he's a wonderful, fantastic regular season quarterback, but when you need to quote unquote throw the ball, which he was like 18 of 21 for 350 and multiple touchdowns in that final game to put away the Miami Dolphins, he can't do it in the biggest moments. This is a difference Ravens teams, because why? They brought Lamar Jackson along the way they should have in the NFL. Hey, look, we're going to be a run-centric team. You're an electric athlete. We'll throw some passes in and we'll win those games by playing good defenses. They made the move this year and said, hey, Lamar, you want to stay in Baltimore? Let's pay a lot of money. I'm going to get you a top-flight offensive coordinator that's going to let you rip it downfield. This is a new Ravens team. Go out and seize the day, Ravens. You got this.
And we'll look around the rest of the AFC. The Browns, despite being the top wild card seed, 13-1. The Dolphins on the road in Arrowhead, the shortest price of the wild card teams, at +800. AFC to NFC, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The playoffs around the National Football League are now set. 14 teams still in the running for the Lombardi Trophy in Super Bowl 58. We showed you the 7 in the AFC, now the 7 in the NFC. The San Francisco 49ers earned the number 1 overall seed entering week number 18. They sat everybody yesterday in Santa Clara, and Carson Wentz had to remind the people the Rams were still playing for the 6th seed in the NFC. The Rams knock off the 49ers 21-20. San Francisco remains the 1 seed. They get the open weekend here during Super Wild Card Weekend. The 2 seed, the Dallas Cowboys. A big victory yesterday in Washington over the Commanders. The Cowboys will host the Green Bay Packers. A reunion of Mike McCarthy, the new team in Dallas against his former team, the Green Bay Packers. Because Carson Wentz got a victory for the Rams, they will be the 6th seed. Another reunion. Storylines abound in this postseason. Matthew Stafford at the helm of LA will head to Detroit, where the Lions in the Motor City will host a playoff game for the first time in 30 years. And, oh, Jared Goff will be on the other side against Sean McVay and the LA Rams. And in the 4-5 matchup in the NFC, the Eagles, who squandered things down the stretch, losing 5 of their final 6, will head to Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers like they did 2 years ago, coming up short against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So that is the playoff bracket in the NFC. Here are the associated numbers to win that NFC championship. And long ago, Donnie, about a month ago, San Francisco started to trend to an even money favorite to win an NFC championship. I expected them to be an odds-on favorite with a minus money price. By the time we reach the playoffs, I'm not sure I thought it would feel like it does now. San Francisco minus 120 to win the NFC championship. It's the Cowboys with the second best number. The Eagles at 7-1 far back, and the Lions that fourth best price at 10-1 in front of those wild card teams, the Rams and the Packers and the Buccaneers, of course, a divisional championship in the NFC South.
Yeah, Lions not getting a lot of respect there, being put behind the Eagles, which is crazy because the Eagles aren't playing great football, but I guess it's that easy to beat the Buccaneers on the road on a Monday night game when you're not playing good football. That's one that sticks out to me. But let's go through here, Ben, of how we got to the top 7 seeds here in the NFC. We'll start right at the top and what they did on Sunday. The San Francisco 49ers, everything locked up. Now, granted, they do have a bye week here, but also as you checked with the Ravens, we always bring up this premise, Ben. You can't sit everybody. It's not college football with 100 players. So therefore, you saw some guys for the Ravens, like Gus Edwards getting some run, Jadeveon Clowney. There were starters out there on the offensive line because, again, you don't have enough guys that you can just sit everybody in the starting lineup. Some guys have to play. So let's equate it to the 49ers. Deebo got some run. Ayuk got some run. Got him out of the game early. Made sure he got Darnold his reps in there. You were competitive in the game. That's how a great franchise is won. Let's take a look at the number 2 seed here. This is the Dallas Cowboys. Look, man, playing good football at the end of the season. Dak looks like an MVP caliber quarterback right now. Dallas had to win that football game. Of course, they were playing from start to finish. Now, let's start to have some fun here. The Detroit Lions, and I'm going to preface this again, 1,000% meaningless football game at home. But sometimes your head coach turns into a Neanderthal and doesn't understand the situation. Sam LaPorta is one of the best tight ends in football. Do you know when you're good on offense with Detroit? When everything is working in sync. I can't defend the tight end. I can't defend Amon St. Brown. I have 2 unbelievable running backs, a quarterback with pinpoint accuracy in a dome, and an offensive coordinator that's been on fire for 2 years. What do? I get Sam LaPorta injured in that game. He's probably going to be out for this year, and I don't see any reports yet, but maybe even ruined this 2024. Ridiculous when you didn't need to play. Look, if he got hurt, Ben, in the first series or 2 of that game, I believe it was, late first quarter there, so they had the ball multiple times, should have never been in that game. Now, take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No fault here, Ben. You win and you get in, you win the division, you get a home game. You're going to play all the way through no matter what, which then brings it up to the next 2 teams I want to talk about. It's the Eagles and the Rams and how to handle a situation, which I can also include the Cleveland Browns. We're not playing any starters because the game doesn't matter. Joe Flacco, yeah, he's old. You want to rest him. But why didn't they play the angle? Stefanski going, hey, look, I've only had Joe Flacco in the building for 4 weeks. We got to get this playbook together and really get hot entering into the playoffs. They didn't give a damn and got blown out. Do you think the morale is low because the Browns right now actually are taking a look at getting blown out by the Bengals? No. So let's focus on the Philadelphia Eagles in a 1,000% meaningless football game. When you bottomed out and got gut punched last week, you thought it would be best to go out into a half empty stadium and play your starters when you already wouldn't play well, as if it was going to magically appear and you would be great. Yeah. And you got injured, which flips it over to the Rams here, who I can't wait to see them play football in the playoffs. Why? Because their organization just gets it. Hey, we can actually drop to the 7th seed if we lose. McVay goes, the hell's the difference between the 6th and the 7th seed? I need my guys healthy here to make a playoff push. They took the bye week and still won the football games. You want to talk about two franchises going in wrong directions? The Eagles, ridiculous what they did this week. The Rams, congratulations. The Browns, congratulations. That's how a real organization is run, not a clown car like Howie Roseman and Nick. Yeah. Like, hey, we got to get good vibes going by getting a good drive in the game. The hell have you been watching for 5 weeks? Take a vacation this week and come back motivated for the playoffs. Now, who knows who's taking the field for the Eagles, and you got to win a football game on the road. I'm so incensed by this, but that's why, bro, like, I'm an Eagles fan at heart, yes, but I see other franchises that operate the exact way you're supposed to, and the Eagles go counterproductive and got smoked and injured. I can't stand it.
Their starters were out there, and they were getting run off the field by the New York Giants, who covered in 6 of their final 7 games, winning outright 4 times. The Eagles lost 5 of their last 6. The defense is atrocious. They have allowed at least 20 points in 10 straight games to end out the regular season, 27 or more in 5 of their final 7. Jalen Hurts looked like he dislocated the middle finger on his right throwing hand. Well, I asked the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, in our 3rd hour. A.J. Brown injured. Sam Porta for Detroit did suffer a knee injury, but after he set a rookie tight end record in the NFL, the most grabs ever in a single season for a rookie tight end, 82, 10 receiving touchdowns, tying Mike Ditka and Rob Gronkowski, for the most receiving touchdowns in a rookie campaign at the tight end position in NFL history. But uncertainty for both the Lions and the Eagles on Super Wild Card weekend. Let's start at the top, though, Donnie, where the odds makers have been infatuated with San Francisco go all 2023 NFL campaign long. The Niners will enter the postseason as the favorites to win the Lombardi Trophy in Super Bowl 58, plus 230, over a dollar in front of the Ravens, who the flock at plus 350. Those two teams, Donnie, really short compared to the rest of the field. It's a $3 drop off from Baltimore to Buffalo, the Bills at plus 650. The odds makers have been optimistic when evaluating San Francisco. Do you feel the same way?
Yes, I do, because number one, they have home field advantage, and I understand that. Like, the Niners didn't go through this off this whole season but undefeated, rolling teams by 30 points. They've had their struggles, which included a 3-game losing streak. They've also watched the, you know, hey, look at this. The Baltimore Ravens came in there and smashed them in their own building. Now, we're not going to give them the loss yesterday and say, like, hey, look at that. They couldn't even compete against the Rams. But when you line them up and you say, okay, from defensive coordinator to offensive coordinator to head coach, which obviously is Kyle Shanahan wearing both of those hats, to the defensive line, to the pressure they get on the defense, to a very good offense. You get the point here. They win at every position when they line up against another football team, and that's hard to look past here. And they're healthy entering into the playoffs. So I understand. Look, how about this, though, Ben? I have tickets on the Baltimore Ravens, Philadelphia Eagles, Rams. Who else do I have here? Pittsburgh yeah. Steelers, and also Buffalo Bills. I don't know if I said them previous there, but that's what I have. Just about everybody who I thought from a shot during the season outside of the San Francisco 49ers. Do you know why? The 49ers never had a good price all the way through and were supposed to win yeah. it all. So you're trying to say who can knock off the 49ers so I get that added benefit behind the scenes here? Well, I don't know if I'm going to get yeah. that added benefit. But one thing I do know is at least I have the Bills and the Ravens who at least can get to the Super Bowl before they have to play the 49ers. But to your original point here, the Niners are supposed to be priced this way because, quite frankly, every time they line up, I think they're going to beat whoever they play.
And listen, the Eagles have the postseason pedigree, but something isn't working for the Birds like we saw last year in their run to an NFC championship. So then the two other top seeds, Dallas at the 2 spot, Detroit at the 3 spot, they don't have that postseason pedigree or those bragging rights. The Cowboys have not gone past the divisional round in the NFC postseason since 1995. This is the Lions' first time hosting a playoff game in 3 decades. It's Black Monday in the NFL. We recap what has happened next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a day around the National Football League that is feared by head coaches and front office execs after a struggling season alike. When the end of a regular season in the National Football League comes to a close, not only do we have the playoff picture set on this Monday morning, but it's Black Monday in the NFL, firings and parting of ways galore around the National Football League. So here's what we have so far. In the early morning hours of this Black Monday, the Atlanta Falcons made the first move, firing Arthur Smith after a three-year run at the helm in Atlanta. A seven-win season for the Falcons under their win total of 8.5. We're entering the final month. The Dirty Birds were in prime position to win the NFC South. After a four-win season in 2023 at the helm of the Commanders, Ron Rivera has been let go after four seasons in Washington. A 26-40-1 record, despite a divisional title in 2020, never a winning season for Riverboat Ron at the helm in Washington. So those are the two firings at the head coaching spot as of this moment. DRS, we also bring in Carolina's GM, Scott Fitterer, getting let go this morning by David Tepper. A very uncertain season uncertain offseason after a disastrous campaign for the Panthers in 2023.
Yeah, it's unexpected, as we point out, right? This isn't any shocking. Now, we might get a shocking firing or two a little bit later in the day, or maybe a shocking firing after one of these head coaches in the playoffs actually will be moved on here. But if we focus on some of the guys that got fired, right? Arthur Smith, it's anticipated here. I think you have a bright future with Atlanta as long as you get the right guy at the helm. There are pieces to the puzzle there that can really work out, and especially if you trade for, let's just say, or get a quarterback of the ilk of maybe a Justin Fields. You can really reinvigorate that franchise because it's clear they need a new quarterback and certainly a new scheme to get some of those young, talented guys certainly in the mix. But if we flip it over and say the guys that aren't fired yet, I'm really intrigued by Bill Belichick here, Ben, and where he goes from here. He can't stay in New England anymore. We already know that. Otherwise, it would have been Robert Kraft 4 weeks ago. Like, do you really think I'm going to fire Bill Belichick? Like, he has a blank check to stay until he wants to leave here. That's what you would have been hearing. Behind the scenes, we understand it's going to be a parting of ways. But if I'm Bill Belichick and or another NFL franchise, like, Bill's been around the league a long time. He's won so many Super Bowls here. The legacy is there. Like, I feel like Bill Belichick probably would want to say, you know what? I'm not going to coach again in the professional ranks or even college. Like, I would just like to have a nice high school football team. You know, I'll teach them the ways. We'll have fun. And, you know, here's how football is meant to be done. We'll win some games. And just for the joy of it. Because if I'm another NFL owner and you say, hey, do you want Bill Belichick? You usually would say yes. But he's going to want full control. And I know you're not supposed to do this. But let's just say outside of having the single best football player in the history of the game at the most important position, and you dominated, it's been pretty much downhill. Now, hey, Donnie got him to the playoffs after he left. I get that. But you see every year getting farther and farther away from Tom Brady, it's been an absolute disaster here. So if you're another franchise, let's just say it is the Carolina Panthers, who don't even have the number one overall pick here. Hey, Bill, come in and jumpstart the franchise. Why? Because the offense he's going to run? Because the players he's going to pick? You know how you can sell the Patriot way in the past? Hey, look, I'm going to win 12 football games every year. You want to buy in and take less money? That's great because I got Tom Brady. You might resurrect your career. People buy into that. Nobody's buying into this, Bill Belichick, going like, I'm going to go there, not have any fun, can't be a personality, and lose football games? Yeah, I'm out on this year. That's exactly the opposite of a free agent pull of where I want to go. The Bill Belichick move is going to be very interesting to see what his next step is going to be and if another team actually wants him. Because, Ben, he's not coming in there just to be a head coach. Hey, you know what? I love this. Let me just be the head coach. You guys hire my coordinators. You guys pick all the players and the free agents. I just want to coach football. That's not going to happen.
And that is the story of today. What is going to happen to Bill Belichick? You see Dennis Allen on the list, the head coach of the Saints, who finished with a winning record, and had Tampa lost in Carolina, the Saints would have won the NFC South. Slightly disappointing, booked as the preseason favorites to win the division. There are offensive questions under the 2 years with Dennis Allen as the head coach in the Big Easy, but did he do enough down the stretch to keep his job? I'm not sure the players want him. We can discuss that in just a moment. Matt Eberflus also trending in a positive direction for the Bears. Winners of five of their final eight games. Was it enough? With so many things at the helm for Chicago this offseason. More than $100 million in cap space, by far the most of any of the 32 teams around the NFL. The first overall pick, a ton of draft capital, but quarterback questions to answer around Justin Fields. May 2nd, by the way, is that deadline. If Chicago picks up that fifth-year rookie option for Fields, that will be a sure sign of what they do moving forward. But, of course, April, late April, is that 2024 NFL draft where the Bears have the number one overall pick. But the focus is Bill Belichick. It seems as though yesterday's defeat, 17-3 in the snow globe that was Gillette Stadium, was the final game that he will coach at the helm of the Patriots. And he hasn't had a winning season every year, Donnie, but they haven't been worse than 2023. 4-13. 24 years for Bill Belichick at the helm of this Patriots franchise. He had 19 consecutive winning seasons. That streak was snapped back in 2021, his first after Tom Brady ended their time together as head coach and quarterback in that relationship. 6 Super Bowl victories for Bill Belichick, the most ever as a head coach in NFL history. A 6-9-0 win percentage, 265-119 at the helm in New England. 301 career wins, third most all-time time in NFL history, only behind Don Shula and Papa Bear George Halas. What does Bill Belichick still have to accomplish? Very little in the National Football League. What does he still have the desire to do? That will be interesting. I don't know, Donnie, if it's the same exact situation that Andy Reid had at the end of his tenure in Philadelphia when he became involved in front office decisions. That didn't work out for the Birds. He leaves for Kansas City, focuses on just being a head coach once again. What command does Bill Belichick still want? Where would he go if it's not New England moving forward? Those are all the questions. But first up, what is the parting of ways, if any, today between the Patriots and Bill Belichick? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, it does remain to be seen. And I don't know if that's one of those moves, like, you know how, like, because owners, again, they're very methodical here. It's very rare that you're going to go through an 18-game season and then the owner's going to be like, you know what, just in like they played in week 18, I'm thinking I'm going to fire my head coach. You already have those wheels turning weeks and weeks and weeks in advance in preparation for the end of the season. And as we talked about, Robert Kraft, I mean, he's an owner that can just take the microphone, be in the spotlight, and say what he feels. He's not going to have any repercussions. He owns the team. He's got multiple Super Bowls. And quite frankly, anybody would want to be a head coach in that franchise the way he's treated his head coaches and staff and his players. Basically, hey, as long as you're performing here, the checkbook is open. You want to do whatever you want. If you think you can win, you can do that here. So I don't think it's going to be one of those, hey, 9 a.m., let me get a press conference here, I'm out. I think it'll take a few days, but I just don't see how we're going to have a marriage work forward after this season here, where again, you could have had that in week 10 or 11. Bill's really struggling. Looks like he might be a little bit unhappy. What do you mean he's unhappy here? He's going to be my coach for as long as he wants to. We never would question again, even though they had a disastrous finish to the season and a horrible record here where they secured a high draft pick. There was no talk up here. I was like, well, we're not even worried about Bill Belichick not coming out. It just seems like where there's smoke, there's fire. And when you don't address those issues, it'd be hard to see like Bill Belichick on a Wednesday afternoon, hey, press conference for the Patriots. Oh, look, they're going to get rid of him. And him and Robert Kraft go, what are you talking about? Now I'm going to sign him to an 8-year extension. We love everything about Bill Belichick. This will be a marriage that is headed for a breakup. Yeah. But the more interesting point is what's actually on deck. And also keep in mind, as much as we like to think, oh, there's no tampering here, and Bill Belichick goes, wow, I just got fired on a Wednesday. I wonder what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. You've got to be kidding me here. Back channeling for months and months and months on end here where Bill Belichick could possibly wind up. And we were even hearing some of the insiders say, we already have a destination picked out for Bill Belichick, and basically we're just waiting for him to go there in the offseason. It'll be fun to find out, but we will find out, Ben, this week.
Yeah, we certainly will. As of this moment, 4 head coaching vacancies around the National Football League, 2 that happened in the middle of the regular season. First, it was the Raiders firing Josh McDaniels, and then the Panthers letting go of Frank Reich. And then early on this Black Monday, Arthur Smith let go by the Atlanta Falcons after 3 years. Every year in Atlanta, A 7-10 record, 21-30 in his time. The Falcons were 3-13 on the road in the last two seasons. And, of course, Ron Rivera fired by the Washington Commanders on this Black Monday. There will be a story between the two NFC South coaches on this board, Dennis Allen and Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith was none too pleased with the Saints scoring a touchdown on their final play, already up 41-17. And neither was Dennis Allen, who called victory formation for the Saints after Tyrann Mathieu picked off Desmond Ridder and took it back to the 1 yard line. But then it was Jameis Winston into the game that wanted Jamal Williams, who had 18 rushing touchdowns last year, to lead the NFL to get his first rushing score in a Saints uniform. So victory formation was called. Jameis audibles at the line. They run in a touchdown, 48-17. Dennis Allen said that was all on the players. It seems to be a little bit of a schism, Donnie, in the locker room in the Big Easy between the players and the head coach, Dennis Allen.
Yeah, it seems like Jameis Winston getting that one final dagger at his head coach, hoping to get him fired, because knowing like Jameis Winston next year will probably still have a job somewhere in the NFL. It's like, I thought I should have been here to starter all along. Nobody trusts me. Watch this. Let me backstab you in one of the most disrespectful moments you could possibly have, because if you watch that play, it is victory formation. Yeah. But it's not as if, Ben, like everybody fired off the football. It really reminded me of like a, you know, a 5 to 6 year old Pee Wee Football League game where it's like a muddle huddle and you hand it off and everybody goes in slow motion and they fall into the end zone. That's what it looked like here. It was so disrespectful. And I know as a coach on the opposite sideline, you probably already know you're getting fired, but to get disrespected like that at the end of the game, but also shout out Dennis Allen. You're not supposed to do this, but sometimes you get so upset. Like, yeah, I'm not holding the water for this. The players did this on their own. Yeah. I had nothing to do with this. And so be it. If I get in trouble, the ramifications, or if I lost the locker room, who cares?
It's a National Championship Monday in Houston, Michigan, Washington, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A national championship on the line tonight in Houston, Texas, in the college football season of 2023. It's number one versus number two. The Michigan Wolverines, a perfect undefeated 14-0 record, the top team in the country, against the second best team in the rankings, the Washington Huskies. Also, a perfect 14-0 record entering tonight's national championship game in Houston. So at the end of tonight, Donnie, we will have a perfect 15-0 national champion to end out 2023. The Maize and Blue from Ann Arbor, booked as now a 4.5-point favorite against the Washington Huskies, the over under 56.5. We've seen some line movement. It did get up to 5.5 in favor of Michigan yesterday. The total opened at 54.5, now on the rise by a full 2 points at 56.5. We are handicappers, so let's start with the numbers. Donnie, Michigan booked as a favorite now in all 15 games this season. Washington will be an underdog for the fourth time this year. The total at 56.5, some points expected tonight in Houston. What do the numbers, spread and total, tell you about tonight's national title game between the Huskies and the Wolverines?
And by the way, looking at this game, I don't think, Ben, the spread is going to come into play. So what I mean by that is if you like Michigan, just lay the 4.5. If you like Washington, take the plus 168 right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook, because this is such a fun matchup to break down. And the reason I bring that up is, of course, the two great football teams. We get that here. They were very impressive equally in their last week's games here, but doing it sort of in different directions. Like, you have a Washington team that is a high-flying attack with three outrageous wide receivers, an awesome offensive line, and a quarterback that you could pick out of a lab here to say, what's my college football quarterback in a championship game supposed to look like if he wants to throw the football? It's Michael Penix Jr. Then you flip it over to the Michigan side, an unbelievably dominant football team, physicality on both sides of the ball, with an unbelievable defense that can pressure the quarterback, and an offense that's more built for 1986 than, let's just say, 2026 at this point, which I really get a kick out of. So I say to myself going into this, This game is going one or two directions. And I'm not saying that it's going to be a blowout either way. But would you be surprised, Ben, if I told you, wow, Michigan's, you know, physicality in this game, it's really apparent. Like, they're just controlling both line of scrimmages here. That's how you win games. Running 5.5 yards per carry whenever they want it. The defense is cooking up pressure under Mitra's defense. What did we expect out of Washington? Or we can say, well, the Big Ten really isn't in the new millennium in the passing game. We've never seen a passing attack like this, and Washington just opens it up, and Michael Penix has 225 passing yards at the half, and Michigan is just getting run circles in their secondary. That's where I can see both of these games going. But from my perspective, I just like the way Jim Harbaugh has this team flowing right now, believing in each other. And if I think they're going to come in this game and Jim Harbaugh goes, we're going to run this football and be successful, I believe them. If I believe that defense is like, look, we don't even have to blitz to get pressure with our front four, even though how good that offensive line is from Washington, I believe them here.
Yeah.
I trust the defense and the running game more in this game, so I'm more of a Michigan guy. But again, I don't think the spread comes into play. So Washington pulls out a touchdown win or a two-touchdown win, I'm going to sit back and go like, yeah, that team was really that good this year. I love this game.
And that's a huge component of it, Donnie, and I think it's very well said. The Huskies have been booked as an underdog five times under head coach Kalen DeBoer now, including the Pac-12 championship game this year, and of course the Sugar Bowl against Texas, also in Corvallis to end out the regular season, one of their final few games of the regular season against Oregon State. So this will be their fourth time as an underdog this year, five times in general in these previous games under Kalen DeBoer since the start of 2022. College football season, and UW has won outright all five times, booked as an underdog. The Wolverines, a favorite for the 15th time in their 15th and final game of this 2023 campaign. 8-5-1 against the number for the Maize and Blue, booked as the favorite. And just straight up, as Donnie is alluding to, 36-2 in the last three seasons, starting in 2021. All 3 years, of course, have ended with a run to the college football playoff. The last five national title games have not been particularly close. 15 or more points the margin in the last five title games that we have seen, and excluding last year in the rout Georgia had over TCU 65-7. This is excluding last year, the average margin of victory in the four previous 22 points per game, and yet we have a 4.5 point number. Again, alluding to what Donnie is saying here, that the spread might not come into consideration. If Michigan is going to win, more than likely they can cover a 4.5 point spread. If Washington is going to cover, it probably comes the way of an outright victory. Now we go to the total. Up slightly, Donnie, from the opener at 54.5 to 56 and a hook. This will be just the fifth game this year for Washington. A total has been sub 60 in their previous four. Washington over in three of those four games. This is the highest total for the Maize and Blue since week number two of the regular season against UNLV. That number 57.5. And oh, by the way, it went under. So Donnie, let's correlate side to total. If Washington is going to pull off the outright victory for a win in the national championship game, does the game need to go over? If Michigan is dominant, does that keep the game under, relying on the ground game and a very sound defense for the Wolverines?
No, I actually, like, the correlation is a little bit, because usually you'd say, like, hey, if Michigan stays under, they won the football game. It makes sense, right? Because that means Michigan was dominant. They imposed their will. I get that. But I don't think that's the case here. Like, I think Michigan can win going away in a higher scoring game. Case in point, and it's hard to try to equate it because Washington is so, so good. But if you're taking a look at teams in the Big Ten, like, Ohio State did have a high-performing offense against, let's just say, underperforming defenses, but we knew Ohio State's defense was awesome, right? You still take a look at that game. Michigan dropped 30 points in that game. Ohio State still got the 24. That's 54. If you want to take a look at that football game and say to yourself, well, who has the better offense here? It's by far and wide. It's going to be the Washington Huskies, so why can't they score at least 24 points in this game? You take a look at the Maryland game for Michigan, right? 31-24 final. Michigan's offense was very good in that game, but Tagovailoa still had a decent day putting up 24 points. And if you're saying who has the better quarterback or what's the best quarterback that Michigan has faced this year, it's going to be Michael Penix Jr. and this Washington offense. Also keep in mind, We're not playing in Ann Arbor. We're not playing at Ohio State in late November, right, or early December and saying, hey, Ben, it's 32 degrees. The wind's out here and there's rainy conditions. We are in perfect conditions on a fast track in Houston, which does usually play to the team that wants to get after in the passing game, like Washington. So I'll get the total myself and say it's not really indicative, even though, again, if it's going to be a lower scoring game, who's going to win? It's probably going to be Michigan here. But as I look at that Washington team, they're still going to be able to put up points against a very good Michigan offense. And again, Michigan could win this game 41-34. That could be that high scoring, and Michigan's still getting the win and the cover, Ben.
Yeah, I think so as well. Listen, I think if Washington is going to pull off the outright upset, they need to go over their team total of 24.5. That would probably lead to more offense and over the game total as well. But that doesn't mean it's the only way that Washington wins, or so that Michigan, if the game does go over, the Wolverines don't score 31 versus Washington's 28 to win a national championship. And it's been a wild year for the Maize and Blue. Of course, all focused around the sign-stealing scandal in Ann Arbor. Jim Harbaugh has served two different three-game suspensions throughout the regular season, and yet Michigan was always expected to be in this sort of arena. Plus 850 before the year got underway, the fourth-best national championship price, only behind Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. 40-1 for the Huskies, top 15 entering the season, third-best price to win the Pac-12, but even entering that Pac-12 championship game, when the Huskies were booked as a 9.5-point dog against Oregon, it was a 25-1 number for Washington. But they have been resilient. They have played from behind, and the offense has been explosive, led by Michael Penix Jr., the nation's leading passer with 4,218 passing yards in the regular season and that Pac-12 title game, and throwing for 430 in the Sugar Bowl in the college football playoff semifinal a week ago on New Year's Day against Texas. The third most passing yards in a single CFP game now in its decade history. His passing yards prop tonight, 292.5. For the lefty signal caller for Washington, against the second best passing defense in the country, that's the Michigan Wolverines. JJ McCarthy on the other side, Donnie, 199.5. Entered the CFP semi against Alabama in the Rose Bowl, throwing for less than 150 yards in four straight games for Michigan, threw for 221 and two touchdowns against the Crimson Tide. How do you compare the quarterbacks tonight in Houston?
When you look at this football game, for me, J.J. McCarthy, and I think that number is going higher as the week goes on, 199.5. Yeah. He has to throw for over 200 yards for them to win this football game. I love Blake Corum. Blake Corum, I think, you think he's going to score multiple touchdowns tonight. Blake Corum is probably going to approach his 100-yard number and probably go over that. But you still need to have a viable passing attack in this game, because if you give a team like Washington opportunistic the chance to say, well, all right, let's just put 8 in the box here, and yeah, if you get 3 yards in a cloud of dust, eventually get a holding call or maybe a fumble on the turf, and we'll be able to take advantage of that. If you're looking at Washington season two, we can agree, Ben, like Oregon actually had a really good defense this year. Look at the two games that Washington played Oregon. Game number one, 36 points. Game number two, 34 points. It's not as if they're going to say, like, man, we've never seen a quality defensive opponent before. How can we actually handle this? No, Washington is going to be built for this. But the gameplay also, as it checks out with like that total, here's what you would need. And obviously, it's very easy to understand. If Washington can get a lead, maybe you force Michigan to go a little bit out of their comfort zone and say, we got to rely on J.J. McCarthy a little bit more. The worst case scenario would be what, Ben? A 7-0 lead first quarter for Michigan, and they have the football and go, okay, watch us impose our will. 7.5-minute drive where we just pound it and take a double-digit lead and then force you in the situations technically you don't want to be in. So I'm really intrigued the way that goes. But for the quarterback comparison between the two, I think no matter what, to be honest, Penix gets over 300 yards. Because if you think they get hammered in this game, he's going to throw it 45 times. If you think they just play well and it's a close game, yeah, it's close because Washington's offense is moving the football against Michigan. But I am intrigued by J.J. McCarthy's number there at the 199. He's going to have to make some plays in the passing game, and I think he will enough to get 200 passing yards.
Yeah, it is really interesting, Donnie, when you look at the number for Michael Penix Jr., because he is not often booked with less than 300 passing yards. It's just the story of his season. The college football playoff semifinal, he threw for 430, his fourth time throwing for 400 or more yards this year. He's had 10 games now with at least 300 passing yards, except Michigan's the second best passing defense in the country. The most passing yards they've given up this year, 271 to Kyle McCord. Only two quarterbacks have thrown for north of 200 against the maize and blue. Michigan is the best scoring defense in the country entering the college football playoff, allowing less than 10 points per game. And on the ground, that is where their bread is buttered. Blake Corum's rushing yards prop, 102 and a hook. Washington gives up yards, 133 on the ground, 263 through the air. The offense is organized under Blake Corum. To find Pater, you see the price right there, minus 400. He has scored in all 14 games for Michigan this season.
Yeah, and I'm literally looking forward to him playing well tonight. If I'm going to start, Ben, you say, Donnie, you know, you got to get after with one player in this game. I like J.J. McCarthy. I actually think he has a legitimate chance, Ben, to throw over two touchdown passes and get his 200. Same thing with Michael Penix. I think he's going to have a great game. Odunze, we know we love him at wide receiver. McMillan, I know that's your guy. He's probably going to perform well. But doesn't just get started and ends with Blake Corum for the Michigan Wolverines here. Like, I don't like, hey, Donnie, it's 100 yards. That's going to be tough. Doesn't it feel like he's going to have like 76 yards midway through the third quarter and away you go? And if they get inside the red zone, you know they're running the football right up the middle. He's with Corum. I can't get enough of Blake Corum tonight. Even if those props are like minus 400 for an anytime touchdown, I'm taking it too. Plus 105 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Over 100 yards, I think he gets there. Big night for Corum. That's the running back I want.
We hear from you about tonight's national championship game up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out hour number two of the opening day of this new week. It's a Monday live right here on the early line. It's Ben, it's Donnie, and of course, it is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen right here, right now. All of our information and insight available to you, and you will need them today. It's the opening day of a new week. It's the second week of a new year, but it's the end of a 2023 college football season tonight in Houston. A national championship up for grabs and on the line between number one Michigan and number two Washington. What is the best bet for tonight's college football playoff national title game? We asked you and Fade the Public. In all 14 games this year, every one that Michigan has won, by the way, the Wolverines have been booked as a favorite. Make that a perfect 15 for 15 tonight. The Maize and Blue, a 4.5-point favorite right now. Washington, once again, an underdog. The over-under on its way up to 56.5. So what is the best bet? At SportsGrid TV on Twitter. And use this for what you will. A lot of the public thinking the underdog goes barking tonight in H-Town. Washington, +4.5, running away with this Fade the Public poll, more than 50% of the vote.
And look, I can agree with that because you're saying, okay, a team's never lost this season. You're going to give me 4.5 points. I think they're going to be able to pass their way to a victory. I get it. It's going to be a great football game. It really is. But Michigan now only coming in at 26% of that vote is really eye-popping. And also, sometimes when you take a look, Ben, be the chameleon. You know me. You sat on this set multiple days where I have just ripped Michigan to shreds throughout the season. But you saw me sort of come to a little bit of, all right, well, let's try to make some money here. And I think Michigan's the better side against Alabama. I'm doing the same thing in the final. Like, who would have thought, Ben, 2 months ago, we're going to sit in a final with Michigan and Washington. I love Washington. And I'm going to say I'm rooting for Michigan, not because I like them, because I think they're going to make me money. The public didn't get it right here, Ben. And we're going to talk about it.
We will continue to break it down. Hour three starts in less than a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.